The 2017 budget request looks a lot like the 2016 one, maybe a little more so. The well-known and costly platforms are all in there, from the F-35 to modernizing the nuclear arsenal. Law professor Charles Tiefer has been watching these matters for decades. He joins me now with what he thinks are some of the big drivers of waste in the 2017 budget. Dr. Tiefer, great to have you back.
Nice to be here.
You have an article in Forbes.com in which you list the top 10 drivers of what you're calling waste. And number one is the overseas contingency operation, yet there are overseas contingencies. So what gives?
Last year, this looked like it was going to be a giant slush fund because it's outside the budget limit. And this year, once again, it looks like it's going to be a slush fund because it's supposed to only have the money for wars and other overseas contingencies. But it's very convenient for the Defense Department and for Congress to slip in their regular old, what they call base budget, weapons buys. And the argument in the Congress is that some point out there was supposed to be the figure in the budget deal was supposed to be a ceiling, but the Armed Services Committees are prepared to treat it as a floor so that they can spend, on top of everything that they were previously budgeted for, another $15 billion.
But what about the request by the administration? I mean, to some degree, they're party to all of this by proposing a certain level of budgeting when they sent the request to Congress earlier this month.
That's exactly right. They opened the door to the games to come by putting $8 billion that should have been in the base budget in the ordinary weapons buys, that should have been under the ceiling. They put $8 billion into the budget they sent up to Capitol Hill. And the Secretary of Defense added, you could see a little more than that happening along the way. The door being open is the question we'll see month by month this year in Congress, how much is piled on top of the previous ceiling.
And then you mentioned some of the well-known platforms, the F-35, that's kind of a perennial, and also the Global Hawk drone, and some of the aircraft carriers, about $11.5 trillion. Are those needed strategically, and the issue is that they should simply be brought under control, or do you feel that they're not needed?
Well, they themselves are by no means being brought into production efficiently. The F-35 has been criticized voluminously by the Governmental Accounting Office for all its flaws. For example, its software is not ready for use. We were supposed to level off. Not go so high in how many we're buying, but more were tacked on by the Navy and the Marines to bring the numbers up higher. And the carrier story is a scandal. The $11.5 billion for the previous carrier being finished only was kept legal, only was kept under what Congress had said was the absolute limit, by pushing some $2 billion into what will be done on the carrier after it's delivered. You know, you have the picture that the carrier is already in the harbor, flying the flag, it's been delivered to the Navy, and you have the workers rowing out to it and still working on it. And there's a new carrier that's coming along that the Governmental Accounting Office has already said is similarly going to come in way over budget.
That's almost like a cruise ship launching, but they haven't got the sheets on the beds yet.
Well, when you're talking about systems that could be, I don't know the specific. We can't know yet what the specific flaws in the next carrier are going to be. We just have the GAO's estimate, but it could be that their defenses, their vital defenses against the other side's ships will not be on the carrier when it's delivered.
We're speaking with Charles Tiefer, law professor at University of Baltimore, and we should also mention former deputy counsel for the House of Representatives. I want to talk about the nuclear remodernization of the triad, especially the missiles, which is a very big program, which the Pentagon itself says won't really be affordable, but yet we have to do it. What's your take on that?
Well, that's exactly right. The figures on what the modernization of the Triad will eventually cost are enormous. In this year's budget, they're starting one of the new nuclear submarines that will cost $1.9 billion just this year. And they're starting the long-range strategic bomber costing $1.4 billion just this year. And they're also moving along the projects having to do with the land-based intercontinental ballistic missiles and on new designs for the warheads themselves, the nuclear weapons that are put on top of these different platforms. And those figures for this year are just, they're just the first installment. One total, which I think is a low estimate, is $700 to $750 billion for this reconstruction, in effect, of the old Cold War nuclear triad of bomber subs and missiles plus warheads.
But in a world where China, Pakistan, Russia, North Korea, so many other countries have nuclear weapons, Iran eventually, what else, what choices are there, do you think?
Well, we're never going to be able to afford $1 trillion for modernizing the triad. Inevitably, we're going to have to pick one of or more of the triad elements to not complete. We're going to stop it in the middle. We may waste a lot that we've put in. And so we're going to be forced in the end to choose anyway. And the fact is that compared to the old Soviet Union, where there was an argument it could overwhelm one, possibly two, of the triad, and North Korea is not going to knock off all. It's not going to knock off all our subs and all our missiles and all our bombers and all the new design warheads. It's a different kind of threat altogether. It's a tough one to meet, but that's not what the $1 trillion program is about. It's a resumption of the kind of Cold War that we had when we had the Soviet Union, an entirely different kind of adversary than we're facing today.
And the final one you mentioned is Guantanamo Bay, which would save, you say, would save $500 million. Would it be closed? And needless to say, Congress will not agree. Is that really a funding question or a philosophical question?
Well, I do put aside. I know there's a clash between President Obama, who sees it as a bad symbol for America to the rest of the world, and his those debating with him who say that it shows our resolve about national security. Just look at the money, though. I'm just looking at it in terms of the money, putting it on the list with the other items. It does cost $450 million a year, and that's because at this point we are spending $5 million per detainee. I'm not sure what the multiple is, but it's something like 3 guards for every 1 detainee. Well, that's money we shouldn't be pouring down that hole. It was one thing when we had 800 detainees. Then you could understand paying a lot of money. If it was worth having them all as detainees, then you had to pay a lot of money. There's 91 detainees left. You really need to spend $450 million on 91 detainees?
Maybe they could put them to work outfitting the rest of the carriers. I don't know if they're innocent.
I think they're more sort of land and desert dwellers than Navy people, but you could use them on some projects.
All right. Charles Tiefer is former House General Counsel, now a law professor at the University of Baltimore. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click share with friends.